everybody. Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, Tales from the Crypt review. This is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and we're here doing Season 1, Episode 6, Collection Completed. I am here with a special guest, my boyfriend Mike. Say hi, Mike.
Hello, everyone.
And I had him on here because this is one of his favorite episodes, is that right?
Mostly.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's fun. And so we'll go ahead and get started here. I will read the scenario, the description on the back of the box here. Let's see. Every retiree needs a pet project. So Jonas takes up taxidermy, turning the many pets his wife Anita dotes upon into a stuffed menagerie. Sit still. Don't move. This one will leave you in stitches.
I gotta love how they just give away one of the major things that happens in the whole episode, which actually takes quite a while for you to find out. Like, this is only like the last third of the episode they actually start stuffing these things.
Well, and even the picture, like you were saying the other day, the picture on the
Shows, well, we probably shouldn't tell what it shows so much.
It kind of gives some of it away in the box, but that's all right.
But I should probably be edited out for mentioning all this to begin with, so.
It'll be fine. And so, as always, John Cassier plays the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. This one is directed by a woman, which is the first female director so far in the series. It's directed by Mary Lambert. She also directed Pet Sematary.
That's an interesting connection.
The screenplay is by Battle Davis and Randolph Davis and A. Whitney Brown. The original air date for this episode was June 28th, 1989. And it stars M. Emmett Walsh, who you've seen in a lot of things.
Many things.
He was in Blood Simple, apparently a very big. And Christmas with the Cranks, I liked him in that one a little bit. He always plays like a curmudgeon kind of thing. And Audra Lindley, who was Mrs. Roper from Three's Company.
That's a little outside of my territory.
I've only seen it a little bit, but yeah. I knew she looked familiar when I saw it, but yeah. So we'll go ahead and get started here. So it opens up with the Crypt Keeper, and he's talking about his pet peeves, because he likes to bring up all those fun puns.
He already has a stuffed animal right under his arm.
Yeah, and what I like about this one is he sounded really creepy in the intro, like he's really whispery, and I like that you can see his feet. He's got some big feet.
There's some weird, like, unnatural stuff going on in the first season as far as Crypt Keeper is concerned. He's all whispery. You can see parts of his body that, you know, afterwards they just kind of never show.
Yeah, but I like that they have all these different puppets of him. That it's like, you can see him full, you can see him just his head.
True.
It's really kind of neat.
You can tell they're trying out some things, though.
So the episode opens on a dark and stormy night. Which is kind of what I thought was going to be similar to right now, because I saw that I kept seeing lightning outside, but I guess no. So yeah, it opens on a stormy night. It's a house full of animals, and it's raining really hard, and it's, you know, doing the opening credits and everything. And Anita, the wife in the show, is hiding in the closet. She's wanting to get ready for... Or not hiding in the closet, sorry. She's coming out of the kitchen with the big cake, and she's getting ready for Jonas's retirement party that she's throwing him. And
they just look like closet doors.
Yeah, I think it's just the way into the kitchen. And she keeps talking to someone inside the kitchen, like, oh, get ready, he's gonna be here soon. And, you know, you can't wait. And so, you know, you're like, okay, cool, they're gonna have a party. And so she hears something at the door, and she goes to open it up, and there's a cute little orange kitty, and he's all wet, and he's so cute, and he's like, hi.
So with no knowledge of whether this thing has rabies or diseases or what have you, just a ragged-looking cat come off the streets. Yeah. She starts, you know, picking it up and caressing it, putting her face right in its face.
She's going to bring him in and let it infect all her other animals.
So in the first few seconds, you can definitely tell that she's an animal lover.
When she's, like, kissing it already. And it has, I mean, it's such a cute cat, though. I love orange cats, but... And she names him, she went meow meow? Or
So in the process of shutting the door behind to take the cat out of the cold, she shuts the door right in the face of her husband, which is now revealed as she opens it back up after hearing.
Yeah, and he is not looking happy about it. He's got a box full of stuff because he was forced into early retirement. So while Anita's trying to make this such a big deal and excitement, he did not want to retire.
No. It's obvious on the harried look he has on his face as he looks around the house.
And he did not want a party. I mean, she did a pretty good job, I think, setting it up. It's cute. She's got, like, you know, a banner and stuff, and she's excited to see him. But he's got all the stuff from his desk, and they gave him, like, a trophy. Like a hammer? It's like a bronze hammer?
It looked like... They probably called it gold, but it's probably nickel-plated or something.
And so right away, you can tell, like... I don't know, almost like these animals are out to get him. Like, the orange cat already, like, trips him up. And, you know, he's just super...
He's an old guy. He falls straight on the floor. So, he definitely could have broken something.
Yeah. Yeah, the hammer thing's kind of cool, though.
And 47 so years, though.
That's a... I feel like that's not early retirement. I mean, that's not the best gift for 47 years of working in a company.
No.
But, I mean, they probably threw him, like, a little thing at work. I mean, he probably hated all of it, but...
I'm pretty sure they didn't.
I mean, I feel kind of bad for him, because... I mean, technically, it's not early retirement. 47 years is a long time to work. That's good. But it was the only job that I think he's ever had, because he's retiring at age 65. So it's basically from age 18 until now, he has worked, like, every day, never missing a day. You know, one of those guys that, like, doesn't call in sick even when he's dying and all that. So, you know, he worked 6 days a week, he says, for, you know, 52 weeks a year and everything.
47 years, Suntime hand tools. 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Look at that thing. Some thanks. Can't even tell time with it.
Well, I think it's beautiful.
She's wanting to go on and have this party, and he's not really in the mood to celebrate. And so he goes to sit down to just kind of placate her, and he ends up sitting on a little squeaky, I think it's a dog toy.
It looks like a foam or rubber kind of thing. And you can tell he's really on edge because he just flips the hell out when he sits down.
Yeah, it's just a cute little, like, squeaky porcupine or something. And, yeah, so now he's all mad, thinking these animals are out to get him or she's out to get him, and he's just having a really bad day. And Anita's like, I'm sorry I didn't know how it got there. I'm sorry. The cats know it's your chair. And he's like, oh, I bet they know it's his chair. I'm surprised they didn't hawk a hairball on it. He says that now that he's home, she doesn't need any animals anymore. I'm all you need, and you can get rid of all of them. And she's like, well, that's my friend. Those are my friends. And he's like, no, you can even get rid of that new little mangy orange cat you just brought in. They all need to go.
Well, he does talk about how he used to work constantly. Basically, only have, like, one day off a week. And work, like, what, 10-hour days each week? 12-hour days?
Yeah. And
something like that.
What's kind of, I don't know, it's a little sad, but it's kind of like, because now he has all this, he says he has all this time for her, even though he sounds super mad about it. but it's like, this whole time, this has been their relationship, like, their whole, I'm sure they were married for probably 40 years at least. You know, and this whole time, it's been like, she does her thing, he does his thing. You know, and now it's like they're thrown into this 24/7.
It's when they realized that they really did, you know, oh my God, I'm married to this person. You know, work gave them a respite from that, but now.
And so he doesn't want to even celebrate. So he goes upstairs to bed. He's done. And so she goes back in the kitchen and she tells the guests in the kitchen that she's sorry, but it's not going to work out. And you find out that the kitchen is full of animals.
There are like five cats.
Yay! No, I counted them. It
is, you would count
it was
them.
One bird, three cats, not counting the orange kitty, three dogs, and it looks like a bunny is on the table, and they all have little hats, and it's so cute, because I'm sure, I don't know,
setting little up pointy birthday hats.
And little balloons, and like, to celebrate his birthday. And it's cute, because I'm thinking of how they set this scene up. Like, with all the animals
they probably sedated the animals.
No, they're probably good animals. They're cute. And yeah, like, one's like a little bunny.
And, not dachshund.
So, no, that's a bloodhound. So the next day, Jonas wakes up and he thinks, you know, that Anita turned off the alarm and he's going to be late for work. But really, he doesn't have to go to work. So it's kind of like, aww. You know, you're just so used to it. And she's like, no, you can do what you want. If you want to sleep in, you want to, you know, whatever you want to do. It was about 8:30 in the morning. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll go ahead and sleep in. But
I think there are pictures of like, cats and other animals inside their bedroom.
Yeah, most likely. And so on this part's kind of sad. He lays down. He's trying to go back to sleep. He can't. He didn't give it much time, but he's like, you know, he doesn't want to waste the day. And so now Anita and Jonas are figuring out that they had their own routines, and now they're both in each other's way. So he's up to go to the bathroom, and he's super shy about his bathroomness.
No, he can't say he needs to go poop.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to say the words. So, naturally.
She's just in there brushing her teeth, because it's what she normally does, and he's not here. And so he starts brushing his teeth like a madman. You know, she's laughing at him, and then she was going to get ready to take her bath. Eventually, he just, like, breaks down emotionally and is like, I have to use the bathroom. Can you please?
He's just too crowded by her.
Yeah, and he, like, drops his glasses in the toilet and all of a sudden, he's just having a really bad morning. And, yeah, she's not getting the hint because, you know, for her, it's this is how she normally gets
ready. What's really sad about it is this scene, more than many others, kind of underlines the fact that they've just lived apart.
Yeah.
So completely apart. They have their own lives that are more or less completely separate. It's not the ideal married life, obviously.
But what I kind of like, or I think it's interesting, is that Anita, she doesn't seem to mind it as much as Jonah does. Like, Jonas
well,
is like...
Well, she has friends.
That's true.
She has all these
but
friends
she seems,
that she talks to.
And she's so
to.
Much more... Like, she's all like, oh, you have to go to the bathroom? That's fine. I'll just, you know, I'll go do other stuff, you know. Sorry, I didn't know, you know. And he's just like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, he's probably not so used to gross stuff, whereas, you know, having to clean up after all those animals is probably something she's gotten used to.
Yeah.
You imagine the dumps those bulldogs take?
Yeah, that bulldog is cute, though. So, here's a scene that, you know, Mike, you like this scene?
Oh, God, this is the worst thing ever. This, I mean, they're both equally flawed in their own ways, but this, I think, really kind of got to me at a visceral level because she's, Anita's there cooking what seems to be cooking a steak breakfast for her husband, which, you know, that's really nice. You know, that's something that I would be definitely flattered for if my wife... You know, cooked up a steak for me.
Well, and he,
with all the fixings.
He comes in, too, like, all happy, and he's chipper, and it's like a new day.
Yeah, he's actually in a good mood
yeah,
now.
You know, he had a good good bowel movement, and now he's ready to start his day. And, yeah.
So, then she talks to him about now that he's retired, he should just sit back and enjoy life. Sit back, but basically that segues into her suggestion he just sit and watch TV,
yeah.
Which is a great way to, you know, hasten your demise, just sit down and do nothing.
And Jonas does make a good point when she says about the TV and he goes, you know, I don't want to watch TV, I'm retired. And she goes, well, I used to watch it all the time. And he's like, yeah, I earned it then. He's
yeah.
like, yeah, I worked all day.
When you come home from a 12-hour shift, of course you're going to collapse in front of on the couch with a few beers.
So here's the part here. So she goes past him. And
he looks so happy when the steak seems to be coming to him, but no. She just goes right past his face with this thing. Like, he can put... His nose is right over
yeah,
the steak.
Yeah, it's a big steak.
And it looks huge. It's, and like, easily a 24-ounce steak.
And she gives it to the dog.
Yeah.
Only one of the dogs.
She gives it to one of the dogs. Implication there, I think, is that she cooks steak dinners for all of them. But just one for now. And then she pops down, like, bran meal.
Oat bran.
Or oat bran. Like, yeah. Some form of...
He gets oat bran. Got to keep himself regular.
So
he just loses it, which I don't blame him kind of
I
this
don't
one.
Think it's intentional on her part, but at the same
no.
time, the fact that you can tell just from that scene that she doesn't really think of her husband as even a human being
I just find it weird that she cooks up this whole steak for just the one dog instead of, like, splitting it up for all the dogs.
I think that you're missing the point here, right?
I know that, too. No, the other part, too.
He already feels alienated and kind of lost as it is.
Well,
this
the other
is just
part too is
insult
that
to injury at this point.
The other part too is that if she's been doing this whole time, all this money that she's been wasting on meat that he hasn't gotten to eat, but all these dogs have gotten to eat.
Yeah,
she could
he
be
brings
doing
that
this,
up.
Yeah,
right,
she
right
could be
off
doing
the bat,
this for years
as it starts to think because prime meat cuts do tend to add up if you do this every day, which God alone knows whether or not she's been doing it, but she certainly didn't cook that steak for him.
Nope, and he is not happy about it.
Are you running some kind of luxury resort for every flea-bitten parasite that trips across my doorstep? What's that dog eating? A steak?
These are my friends.
So as you can see, folks, I mean, it's, so far it seems like a domestic comedy of errors, maybe a tragedy in some ways. You might think of this as Hallmark Hall of Fame by now, but it is a Tales from the Crypt episode, so it is building to what will come next.
So now he's down in his basement tinkering around with his toy or his tools and everything,
yeah.
And he made a nice little plaque for his bronze hammer.
It's got quite the decent workshop.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a little dark, but it's I mean, it's fine. And so his friend comes down, who's also retired, I think, dressed like he's gonna...
He's got like a track suit.
Run a marathon for NASA or something. I think it's a NASA suit or, you know, USA suit, like the Olympics, which he does not look like he could run at all.
Maybe in his youth.
Yeah. Maybe he used to run. And so he's telling
about...
He gives
him a Skyhawk jet kit.
Yeah.
An airplane, which Jonas isn't too happy about either, because to him, that's probably no better than watching TV, sitting down and tinkering with a kit.
Yeah, basically his neighbor's bringing him some, you know, airplane models and different models to keep him busy in his retirement. Thought he might like to try some of that. So, you know, Jonas is like, I got better things to do. And so he's outside, he's talking about, you know, what kind of retired person he's going to be, and he's not going to sit on his butt and just wait. And he's pruning a bush while he's talking to his neighbor, and he is...
He takes a look at the bulldog just sitting right behind him, waddling around.
Which is another dog. So it's like on top of the other three dogs, there's this dog that shows up every once in a while for love and treats, I guess, and just walks through their house. And so he's out there and he's talking to his neighbor and he basically demolishes this bush. He's not trimming anything. He's killing it, is what he's...
He's agitated, though, from multiple things. And here you see a bit of that nervous energy come forth. That feeling like, I gotta keep busy. I just need to keep on doing stuff. I've done stuff my whole life. And then his neighbor's telling him to calm down. And as his neighbor tells him to calm down, it's just getting him more and more agitated.
Well,
and he proceeds to lop off every single branch on this poor bush.
Well, and what he's trying to explain is that he never realized how much, like, how weird Anita is. And then his neighbor,
right.
Because he never spent time with his wife, really.
And his neighbor's basically like, yeah, your wife's crazy.
No, he's not. His neighbor's like... Basically, yeah, she's different, but she's kind of always been that way. Like, everyone knows it. She always has a kinship for animals. He's seen her have a squirrel on her head at, like, a football field. And, like, you know...
The neighbor's talking about this like it's no big thing,
well,
by the way.
Well, because for him, he's known her probably for 20 years, you know? And he's like, yeah, she's always had a thing for animals. She's good with birds. She's good with all the kinds of animals, you know?
Right.
Maybe you should try talking to her and get to know her before...
But this thing,
you know?
this poor little tree, though... Right. I mean, the tree is really the chief victim of this whole story.
Yeah,
the tree did nothing wrong.
He should just
at
cut
all.
The tree down. And so now he's back. You know, it's been after his neighbor leaves, and it's time for lunch. He spent the morning tinkering in his basement and then killing a bush.
Yeah. So
and,
lunch
yeah.
and this and the second insult of the day commences.
And yeah. So it's time for lunch, and he gets a nice sandwich on white bread with a glass of milk and some chips. And he goes to take a bite out of it, and what does he find in the sandwich?
Like cat food.
Yeah.
And this isn't just tuna. This is literal cat food from a can that she has spread. He digs it out because he can't even believe it himself.
Where'd you get this from?
I got it out of the cupboard. Looked all right to me.
Where is it? Let me see your pants. Nita, this is cat food.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
I mean, I guess in her defense, she might eat the animal food herself. The fact that she's so close to them all this time, and now she's just forgotten that most people won't want to do that shit, but...
It could have been a simple mistake. Like, she thought she just saw tuna, or, you know, but it did say cat food on it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so now he's super mad, because first of all, he didn't get a steak. Now she's trying to give him cat food.
No steak,
and then
horrible white bread sandwich with cat food inside.
And then just as they're talking about this... The bulldog comes strolling in through the doggy door like he owns the place.
Can barely get through the door for one thing.
He's so cute.
Which implies he's getting that steak dinner quite regularly.
Well, he's also a bulldog.
Yeah, well, that too.
But you find out that the bulldog's name is Jonas. So
the same name
which
as
Which is
our
like a, yeah.
As our poor beleaguered retiree.
And yeah, so Jonas is like, wait a minute, what do you mean you named him Jonas? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, he just reminds me of you. And... You know, of all the dogs to be reminded of. Bulldogs are sweet, but yeah, they're...
As it looks up with its cosmic underbite.
Yeah, and so, later that night... Actually, I think, I mean, he's got a different shirt on, so it could be like a couple of nights later.
Yeah, time is not very well expressed in this episode.
Yeah, they don't explain it a
whole
lot.
You have to kind of just imply that several days are passing.
Well, it's definitely, I think this episode is definitely like a couple of weeks. It has to be.
I would hope so, because, well, we'll get to what's happening later.
Yeah.
But for him to accomplish what he's about to accomplish,
yeah,
for it all to be done in the course of even like a few days is quite impressive, if not horrifying.
Basically, he's watching TV and everything he keeps turning on is about animals. He sees like he sees episodes of Lassie and all kinds of things, and he's like, I can't take it. And he's starting to get a headache. And so he asks for an aspirin from Anita, and she goes in and she brings back a little brownie. And he's like,
fine, a brownie, that's human food.
Yeah, so
you think this is the third time she does this food-related mockery to him, whether she's cognizant of it or not. Like I said, I don't think she really realizes what she's doing.
No, because she's never really had to take care of her much, except for, like, making him breakfast and making him dinner when he gets home.
Yeah, so...
And then he goes,
he eats the brownie, and then she admits to him...
No, he feels it.
He feels it. Like, he feels, can taste the chalkiness in his mouth.
She put the aspirin in the brownie like a dog.
Yes, she did. So even though he asked for aspirin, she felt the need to hide it in food for him, which really makes me think that it's not her... The poor thing can't help herself at this point.
And this
She's gone loco.
This is kind of sad, because he actually gets, almost where he's going to start crying. Because he's like, I just can't take...
Oh, yeah, she's broken him down.
Yeah, he's like, crying.
He's reached the end.
He's like, I am not an animal, I'm a human.
Yeah, they have a nice reference to the... what I think is the Elephant Man, actually, as he says. Oh. He is not an animal, he is a human being. Even grasping the chair in agony as he says so.
And now he's starting to lose it. Now it's like a few days later and he's downstairs, probably the next day, and he's trimming up. He's got, what is it, like the blade sharpener thing?
Oh, it's a whetstone. He's sharpening the blades. He's brought out a few more pieces of equipment onto his work table, and his neighbor is coming down. I guess the neighbor just comes and goes as he pleases. It's one of those.
Yeah.
It's one of those, this is... Oh, we never lock our doors. Although, to what extent that was even true for most communities.
No, I mean, he came from upstairs, so he probably talked to Anita. But what I'm thinking is he's kind of more like the voice of reason. Where he's like, Jonas, if you're not getting used to your wife, you should talk with her and have, a thing.
Yeah, discuss with her. I'm a man. I'm not a bulldog. I have different needs. And by the way, why are you feeding the bulldog the good stuff and me the oats?
So Jonas is like, well, maybe I'll take him up. And so he goes upstairs to go talk to her, and he hears her talking to someone. And so he's like, what's going on? And so he's kind of watching, and he looks over, and she's talking to the cat. She's got the cat sitting on a chair.
Well, what she's saying sounds like it's like a heartfelt admission of how she hasn't been spending enough time with him, and how she could be better. She could be more mindful of him and less but at the same time at first he thinks it's to him, but then he rounds the corner and finds he's talking to that orange cat that she slammed a face in his door over.
The orange cat's just sitting on the chair yes, thank you for the apology.
Oh yeah, that cat's eating this up. That cat understands everything.
Oh, yeah, this is part great. And so, later, he's got, his stuff on. He's out there killing another bush.
I don't know. From the angle, that looks like the same tree.
Yeah, probably.
Which miraculously sprouted.
Grown. So maybe it's been a while.
But in his defense, he was doing a better job of it this time, but...
he's not stupid, but that conniving little orange cat, who definitely has it out for him, gets up. She brought him out a drink to drink. She brings him a pitcher of lemonade. Yeah, I think it's lemonade. And she's like, oh, okay. And he's like, thanks, and stuff. And they're trying to get along. And the cat comes up and he's just like...
Sticks its paw right in it. But no, it doesn't... Actually, it
just
doesn't stick its paw in.
Just
I just realized as I'm watching this, it pushed it over intentionally. It grabbed the rim of the pitcher
and
it pulled it
lemonade.
Down.
Yeah,
so
it's like, screw your lemonade. Just throws it over the side. And, that's it. That's it. I think that's, the turning point for Jonas.
So he takes his shears and comes slowly towards the cat.
Yeah, he's trying to grab that cat. The cat jumps over by this pond that they have in the yard, which is, he needs to clean that pond out. And so...
He trips on a basket and as he lunges towards the cat.
It was just like a wicker basket. I don't know how he tripped that hard on a wicker basket, but... He could have really hurt himself. And again, the cat's watching that's right.
Whole body falls into this pond, pond full of muck and algae.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's chocolate in the pond.
It looks like he's coming out of a pestilential swamp. It's just...
But yeah, I love the way that cat's that's right. And then he knocks over that lemonade. So now Jonas is covered in muck and he's going upstairs, tracking mud all through the house to go up and take a shower.
Yeah, been in Nam at this point.
And he goes in to take a shower, and Anita's like, oh my gosh, what happened? And he's like, he doesn't even say anything. He's like, I'm done. And he just goes in the shower, and she's like, wait. And so he's in there, and he's just letting all the water hit him. And he looks down, and it's full of koi. She has put the fish in the bathtub. I guess she's cleaning the tank. And so she's got him in there. And it's like he just cannot get away from these animals.
Even as he goes to take a shower.
Nope.
Of course, he did just barge in there and didn't, like, ask what she was doing or anything, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, he's just... It's like he's got bush in his... Or, like, algae in his hair.
Like seaweed, which I don't know how that got there, but...
And so now he's done. Now he's come up with a hobby. He doesn't quite tell her what it is, but he's like, don't come in the basement, which is never a good sign.
No.
If your husband ever tells you don't go in the basement...
Stay out of the basement!
Go in the basement. He's got bodies in there or something.
He's got, like, a little train conductor's hat, and at first you think that he's going to be setting up a model railroad. You're like, okay, well, that's pretty cool, but then he just starts shoving all the kits he was given by his neighbors. He gave him, like, 5 kits into a box and puts them away, and then you know he's not going to be doing that kind of thing, so...
And so, yeah, so, you know, she's coming downstairs to kind of see what he's been doing, and he's like, woman, I told you not to come down here.
She asks what's become of Skippy.
Yeah, she hasn't been able to find Skippy.
Skippy the bulldog.
No, Jonas is the bulldog.
Oh, that's right.
Skippy, I think, is another cat.
Either that or the squirrel.
And he's like, I don't know where...
Because she has a squirrel. About.
Yeah. And so, he's like, you know, that, you know, I don't know, I don't know where, you know, where Skippy is, but I did hear...
You can tell that something very wrong is going on also because of how calm and that smirk on his face.
Yeah, he's very calm.
Oh, yes, he's enjoying himself.
But basically... He goes, you know, I heard Jonas out on the deck out there, you know, outside. Maybe she could check on him. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll go see him. And she goes out there. And his new hobby is taxidermy. And not just taxidermy, but robotics. And
Jonas is quite crafty.
Yeah, it's not bad.
He has taken the bulldog Jonas. And not only has he taxidermied the poor thing, but he's also fitted in like a metal exoskeleton. Remote control, LED lights or whatever for his eyes.
Yeah, and he's lighting them up and he's behind her and he's got the remote.
It's actually fairly macabre at this point.
He has stuffed Jonas the Bulldog and set it out. What I think is also creepy is he set it out for her to find. Like, he was like, well, you should go look.
Like, now we finally get reminded that this is indeed a Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah, he's...
You know, because it took a long time for the more macabre and horror elements to kick in. It took a long time. Like,
yeah.
All the way up, like, most of the episode isn't... The last 5 minutes is really when it happens.
Well, because it kind of, it's building up.
The build-up is humorous.
Yeah, the build-up's good, though.
It's well done to where you don't mind it quite so much, unless you're an unrepentant core hound, in which case you'd probably be a little flustered.
But yeah, so the eyes light up, and she's very upset. She's like, oh my gosh, what have you done? And apparently this is where I think it's been, like, a couple weeks or so, because now she's upset. And he's like, you know, like, maybe you should come see what else I've done. And so, you know, she's like, what, you know, then she's like, oh my gosh, and she's running through the house. And so he's been preparing this, and taxidermy takes a while, so.
Yeah.
This has to have been,
but
like, a couple weeks, at
but
least
here's
a month.
Here's the problem, though. They don't make that clear at all. It feels like it's, like,
no.
taking place within a matter of, like, 2 or 3 days
at most.
But, I mean,
he was setting this up for her for a while.
So you kind of get the feeling maybe he just doesn't sleep. Maybe he just has been stuffing all the animals like crazy.
Yeah, and so now she's looking for the orange kitty whose name is Mew Mew.
Moo Moo.
No, it's
or
not.
Or is it Mew
that,
Mew?
I think it's Mew. It was something like the way she said meow. It's
Mew,
like Mew,
Mew
Mew. And so she can't find the little orange kitty.
And she's freaking out.
Yeah,
she's running all over the house.
She looks under the bed. And she pulls out a stuffed squirrel, which I guess was her friend from the story of it on her head. And yeah. So he taxidermied a squirrel. She finds it and she's like, oh my gosh, all my animals are dead. And so...
And he comes back. Now, this is truly horrifying.
This part is great.
This next part is some borderline Hellraiser shit going on
so
here.
So she runs back down and stairs to confront him, and he's down there, and there's just taxidermied animals everywhere. There's, like, a taxidermied dog.
He's caressing
yeah.
the bodies of those which he has yet to start with.
He's got some bodies hung up, like...
On
the ceiling.
I was going to say meat hooks, because
yeah.
that was a vibe I was getting from this whole experience.
On the ceiling, and he's just sitting there and, like, rubbing them, and his eyes are rolling back on his head, and he's like, oh, yeah, taxidermy, getting back at my wife. And
oh, no, it's truly creepy, especially
yeah,
considering kind of
He's been taxidermy not just her pets, but, like, everything in the neighborhood, because there's, like, rabbits, there's just someone else's dog, I think, you know, and he's like, aren't you proud of me? Like, look at my great... accomplishments down here.
My great work.
You know, look at this. I've done such a good job, and it's my collection. And now they'll be with us forever. And he's definitely snapped.
He's stroking the animals.
That stuffed dog looks really good, though.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, it looks almost, I mean, that probably
could be. I mean, obviously no animals are harmed, you know, as far as people, though. And...
But yeah, so he's been practicing for a while. He's been working up, and he's taught, you know, from small animals to big, and he's talking about how the small ones are really hard because of just how many little bones they have and little techniques you have to do in order to get them cleaned.
Where's Mew Mew?
Well, she's around. But first, it's showtime. Here they are. My complete collection.
And so, you know, then he's like, oh, I have something else you might be looking for. And she's like, yeah. And so she goes to pull it out, and it's Mew Mew. And Mew Mew's still alive.
Yes, Mew Mew's still alive. But
he's got Mew Mew in a box, and Mew Mew's like, oh, I don't like this.
If he has his druthers, though, not for long. As she said, please give him back to me. And he's holding Mew Mew, caressing it creepily. Of course, it's saying, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I need to.
And so, like, she goes to grab Mew Mew, and he actually pushes her away, like, pushes her up against the wall. And that's when she sees the bronze hammer that he got.
Yes.
And she's like,
Chekhov's hammer.
Yeah, she can't believe what's happening. And I kind of can't say I blame her a little bit, because this is, I mean, I'm really surprised she hasn't called the cops or something, because...
Well, let's...
I mean, he's lost it. Probably, he can murder her.
Yeah, basically. But the sad fact of the matter is, with the neighbors seeing her outside talking to squirrels, she's probably gained the, you know, reputation as the crazy, you know, lady. So when the cops hear about that, they'd probably be like, oh, whatever.
So she takes the hammer and she kills Jonas. She bashes him over the head, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And kills him. And...
From behind.
From behind, yeah. And so now...
He sees it coming, though.
Yeah, he sees it. Because he turns around. But yeah, so she kills him. And so now it's definitely... I mean, it had been some time past, too, for this next scene. Because... Now she's, you know, it's later, it's the daytime, and she's very happy, and she's talking about how she made lunch for him, and she gets there's like a knock or a ring at the door, and it's the neighbor, and he's coming in to see how they're doing, and see how Jonas is doing, and I like his blue suit.
And he's outrageously...
I love his clothes. And she's like, now she's snapped. She's usual. Definitely snapped, because she's like, come on in, come see Jonas. He's really slowed down, and he's learning to enjoy life, and he's much happier. And she moves over, and...
There's Jonas just sitting in the chair, and this was actually, there was a picture of this on inside the DVD artwork.
Yeah, so it kind
of
blows
in the box.
But basically,
it shows
yeah.
him. He's been stuffed himself.
Yeah, she taxidermied him, and by not her. A great job either.
No, she definitely, you know, did not obviously go to school for this.
I don't know what she did with his face. I don't know what she was doing with his face there.
It's his eyes were bugging out from his skull. He looks more like a bad Frankenstein's monster costume, if anything.
And so...
The neighbor's reaction, of course, is horror.
It's almost like he's, like, excited, though. Like, in the face, he's, like, excited but scared. And she's just like, yeah, this is what I normally do. But the best part,
too, is... Perfectly natural to her. There's nothing weird about this.
Jonas is also wearing a really weird, like, suit with, like, butterflies on it or something.
Yeah, it's...
Some, like, pajama thing. And, like, a little bow tie. Like, he's ready to go to the ball. But the best part is the little orange cat, Mew Mew, is in his lap.
Yes. Mew Mew, Mew Mew got the last laugh.
Yep.
The first and the laugh, come to think of it.
Yep, and so now Jonas is dead. And, yeah, she like ripped his face off. I don't know if she was making his eye.
Like the stitch job is very obvious. Those stitches are like an inch across.
And so that's basically the episode. She, you know, she does a bad job on him, but yeah, Jonas is gone, and now it's just her and Mew Mew. And
so it can be pretty much these are awful people we're dealing with.
Yeah,
we have both of them grew apart to the extent that when he retired, he came in and found that he didn't really have a home, so to speak. But she never really had a husband, so to speak.
No. So yeah, it's like another episode where they're both kind of like, it's not really someone getting what they deserve. It's
more just a
really bad situation.
Well, first you feel bad for him, and then when he starts stuffing all the animals, you feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Because the actress did a great job of portraying just attachment to the animals and horror once he started hunting them down.
Complete ambivalence to him, just like, you know.
Yeah.
But, so, like, what about this episode, do you, like, makes it one of your favorites?
I think, well, it's, I don't know if it's really one of my favorites overall.
But is it just because it's super memorable?
It stuck with me because of that idea of just, you know, there's so many series that go about the back and forth between marital life, but there's not many of them that really follow that into the golden years, so to speak.
Yeah.
Retirement years. And put as grim a twist on it as that.
Is it also the steak scene? Does the steak scene just stick in your mind?
It did, because yeah. I felt offended by that as a kid watching that, just feeling like... Because it passes right under his nose on the way to the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just cruelty right there.
All
right,
well, that's basically the episode. Crypt Keeper, you're so punny. The best Crypt Keeper pun is...
I guess Jonas learned that a hobby can be very self-fulfilling, as long as you're not too stuffy about it.
Okay, and also for this episode, there's no trivia. I didn't find any trivia on IMDb, but yeah, that's pretty much the end of, that's the whole first season. So that's season one, episode yep. six. Season one is done. Season two, they really move on with, you know, they... I think there's like 13 episodes, 14 episodes in season two, so...
Oh, yeah.
I think by now they you know, got approved, I guess, for second season, and they're like, all right, let's go into it. So yeah, so after this, the next episode will be season two, episode one, and it's called Dead Right. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it, and I want to thank my boyfriend, Mike, for doing this episode with me.
You are welcome, Melissa.
Yay. All right, and thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I just had quite a scare.